Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
Even as we've witnessed a renewed push for doctor-prescribed death in several states, we've seen an even more invigorated pushback against such measures. People across the nation have stood firm and rejected laws that would make it legal for doctors to provide their patients with deadly drugs. The latest numbers out of Oregon, the first state to turn physicians into grim reapers, show that a record-breaking 114 people received deadly prescriptions last year. Studies consistently show that those who are asking for death are depressed and concerned about an uncertain future, rather than near death. Despite supposed safeguards put in place that are meant to ensure only terminally ill patients receive these drugs, many patients have held on to the drugs for several months, and in at least one case, well over a year. Instead of providing support to sick and scared patients, the pro-doctor-prescribed death crowd seek poison for the ill. Thankfully, there is some good news. Vermont, one of the latest states considering this deadly legislation, killed their bill in committee last month. In a surprising move, the lieutenant governor, who had previously actively supported doctor-prescribed death when he was in the legislature, has had a change of heart. Quoting from the story from WPTZ.com, Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott supported a Right to Die bill when it was last before lawmakers in 2004. He was even a co-sponsor. No longer. "I've changed my thinking a bit," Scott told News Channel 5, and then quietly shares a family story. His late father, Howard, served in World War II and was severely injured in the June 1944 invasion at Normandy. Both of his legs had to be amputated. Howard was transferred to Walter Reed Army Medical Center outside Washington. During that time, he contracted hepatitis. The prognosis wasn't good, said Scott. In fact, one of the Western Union messages I've since read said, "It doesn't look good for Howard. They urged my Graham to come to Washington to see him. They didn't think he was going to make it." Scott has thought a lot about all that might have been different had his dad utilized the option now before the state legislature. "I thought about his life and all he'd done and all the pain and suffering he must have gone through during that period of time, and had they asked him at that point, 'Do you want to end your life?' You know, I'm not sure what he would have done, but had he done so, of course, the result is evident. I wouldn't be here now." Howard Scott recovered and returned home to Barre to raise a family. He died in 1969 when Phil was 11. The lieutenant governor said he has firmly made up his mind to vote no on the end-of-life bill should he have the chance. The revelation by Lieutenant Governor Scott is a welcome one by pro-lifers. The future is always uncertain, but to cut life short because we're unsure of what it will bring is to lose out on some of the greatest joys that life can bring. Not only did Phil Scott's father survive long past the temporary pain and illness he experienced, but his legacy will continue for generations to come. These possibilities aren't discussed when patients express their fears about an uncertain future. Instead, they are fed lines that their looming death will only be dignified if a law is passed that will allow or even encourage them to kill themselves with the help of any doctor willing to sign a prescription. While Vermont has currently staved off the current attack on life, there's no time for us to rest. As other states consider similar laws, we must stand firm in countering these dangerous and deadly proposals. For more information on these laws and the work of National Right to Life's Powell Center for Medical Ethics, visit our website at prolifeperspective.com.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.